lift your hands and worship him. Lord, we give you praise. Go ahead and pray in other tongues. Shata baka baka babala da barada basenda bako kashata balai. Rate gaba da balada baka sabaga da 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 bako sabako da balada banda shata balia na rabosa. Rata kata bada da baka brande gede bako suba. Seka pabali dom si bada. Sete kapati de bako sabaga deya. Sete ne kepasha. Rate kete bono rabosa ndo de bosa. Thy kingdom come. Seke bosa kumaha. Epe kete de bako sabaha. Let the wind of glory be opened. Let the portals of heaven swing open. Shepatika Bahaya. Separanama Kapligerebosha. Rendosu Begerebosh. Lebros Kerebenda. Lebros Sigerebosh. Shigerebosh. Tatabalanabah. Rekete de Bakapalanama Kabosh. Tell him, Father, I've come tonight for an encounter. I didn't come to waste my time. The Bible says he has not called the seed of Jacob to seek him in vain. To be prepared for what God is doing. I'd like for your heart to be prepared, because
like my brother rightly said, God is good. There is a carriage of the Spirit. The Bible says, and Elijah stood and told Elisha, I'm about to go. And the Bible says, he looked up and saw a chariot that came to take him to another realm. And Elisha said, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. We trust the Lord that there is a carriage of the Spirit that will take us into a new plane and a new dimension, a realm of intimacy that this earth cannot contain you again. Oh, take us to realms of the glory. There is a mandate upon our generation. Cry and say, Lord, this is me. I have not come to join the crowd tonight. Chapter 28. Sikabrande gedevele de bousa. Harousa pan brigedea. Lord, as in the days of old, cause men to know your glory. Cause men to see new dimensions, new realms, levels and spheres in the spirit. Paul said, I know a man who was caught up to heaven, whether in the body or not in the body, I do not know, but he had things that are not permitted to be spoken in this realm. There is the realm of the glory. There is a path that our fathers walked in. The Bible says there is a path where the lion has not walked, and there is a place where the eyes of the vulture has not seen. The man of God calls it impossible places. That is where we are taking a journey in the spirit to explore the riches. Most high.
mighty presence of God in this place. Verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he came to a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set, meaning he was tired, he was weary. And the Bible says, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached the heavens, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am. I am. I am. He didn't say I was. He didn't say I will be. He stood at the top of it and he said, I am. I am. I am. I am. Hear me, friends. In every generation, God leaves a remnant. God sections out a people who will pursue him. Great men like Tom Tenney call them God chasers. And God begins to search for men and women to seek him, so that he will reveal dimensions and facets of himself, because he said, I am. I am whatever you can think I am. I am above your imagination. But I can reveal myself to you in fragments and pieces. When you seek me, you will find me. And the Bible makes us to understand that Jacob had an encounter. And first of all, he saw angels. The portals were opened up to him. And the Bible says, standing at the very top of his was Yahweh himself. And he said, I am. He didn't try to hear God. He was standing face to face with his maker. And he said, I am. In Exodus 33, the Bible tells us how that Moses entered a cloud and the glory of God came and built a tabernacle in front of him. And the Bible says God spoke, Moses spoke with God face to face. Hear me, friends. There is a realm of encounter beyond the average Christian life. There is a realm of intimacy. There is a dimension of koinonia in the spirit. Great men, when you study through church history and revivals, you see great men and women who taught certain realities. The Bible says, Peter speaking, I believe, he said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. There is a level of encounter that brings a persuasion. You are not trying to guess. Hallelujah. And it has pleased the Lord that in this time and in this season, that he will find the people who are saying, Lord, I have been anointed, I have healed the sick before. Lord, I'm a great man. There are dimensions I have touched. But something inside of me tells me there is more. Something inside of me tells me there is a higher dimension. Greater than ministry. Greater than just healing the sick. Greater than just doing these average things that we glory about. Jesus said, you will see greater things than this. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you will see the heavens open, and you will see the Son of Man, the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Be seated. God bless you. Koinonia is not just a meeting that was put together just to gather people and to talk and to make noise. No. Koinonia is a prophetic agenda. Hallelujah. The system of God is such that when God wants to lure you, he uses hunger to lure men into his presence. The Bible says that God has put eternity in the heart of man. And so every time you have accomplished things and made certain levels of progress in the
the spirit. The eternity dimension of God has a way of swallowing you up so that it brings you to that point of real hunger. Koinonia is not a meeting for everyone, friends. It's a meeting for as many who can say, Lord, I know that there is more. Great women like Catherine Kuhlman walked in levels of intimacy with the Holy Spirit. They were willing to trade their lives if they would spend 5 minutes without Him. The apostles of old shook their generations, not because of a hearsay. They had a real encounter with a real God that produced real results. The error in our generation today and the ambiguity that surrounds the things of God is a direct indication that there is a level of intimacy we are yet to come in. Hallelujah. And I trust God that the Lord will bring us into levels of intimacy, levels of real experiences with Him. Hear me, friends. There are certain levels of walk with God and intimacy where great men like Enoch walked. The Bible says, and Enoch walked with God and he was not. He walked in such a level of proximity with God that this earth could not hold his body. I cannot tell you how many times I cry in my spirit when I see the average life of a believer. I tell you the truth, almost 80 to 90% of believers really do not know the Holy Spirit. It's obvious. And so many people cannot manifest the character of the kingdom because we do not understand, we do not know who the Holy Spirit is. How come we came from a realm that is now so foreign to us? How come the reality of the person of the Holy Spirit, even those of us who call ourselves men of God, compared to the standard of God, are only toddlers in the things of the Spirit. And tonight I invite you into an experience. Koinonia is not a meeting, it's an experience. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 14, Paul speaking to the Corinthian church said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the koinonia of the Spirit. The word koinonia is a Greek word that means intimacy through communion, intercourse, participation, sharing together, fellowship. And that's what God has called us into. He has not called us into religion. He has called us into oneness, participation, partnership, a level of intimacy where we interact so much with Him that we become like Him. And it is the overflow. Our lives become a reflection of where we have been. Everyone knows that we are product of our environment. When I look at your life, I can tell you where you have spent most of your time, because that's what has built your mindset. And so when we dwell in His presence, there is an interaction between humanity and divinity. There is a rub off of His glory and His nature, His life and His character that comes upon you, so that when you stand out, indeed you can be an ambassador. You cannot be an ambassador of a government and a king that you do not know. Hallelujah. And so koinonia is a place of encounter. The Bible says that Jacob had an encounter. Koinonia is not just a meeting that was put for all of us to just get excited and come and watch the new things the Holy Ghost is doing. It's a meeting for as many who will hunger. There are many of you that have cried in the secret place and said, God, there is more. I know that there's got to be more. Young and old, there are many of us here that have desired God and said, Lord, I know that there are depths and there are dimensions. Many of us have had bits and pieces of experiences. Many of us have seen Jesus. A few of us have been caught up to heaven or certain realms in the spirit. But this is a higher dimension of intimacy. Hear me, friends. The greatest revival that is about to come, I've been saying this thing for years. Our fathers prophesied it and they died without seeing it. But they left a prophecy on earth as they went to heaven. They said a revival will come. Greater than the Phoenix revival. Greater than the Azusa Street revival. And what an honor to be alive at this point. because the Spirit of God is training and building men and women with whom he will trust the life, the power, the character, the grace of the Spirit, so that they can be ambassadors. Friends, I welcome you to Koinonia, the place of intimacy, the place of participation, where you will be groomed and trained in the things of the Spirit, that your eyes will be opened to see him as he is, and then you can be able to sing like Isaiah sang, the train of his robe fill the temple, a crowd of heavenly worshippers surrounding his throne. Can we join with them now, crying, holy, holy is the Lamb. Kingdom. But the Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I, Isaiah, saw the Lord. And he saw a dimension of glory he never believed existed. Now you must realize that he was a prophet. And so spiritual encounters were not strange things. But he saw a new wave and a new dimension. Like many of you will be seeing. Let me tell you something. Many of you will live in certain realities that you never dreamt were possible. There are dimensions of God that when you encounter, the issue of pride and arrogance will not be there again. You are not trying to be humble. The imprint of that encounter leaves a mark in your life forever. Hallelujah. How many of us truly desire intimacy with the Holy Spirit? Friends, I am convinced that intimacy with the Holy Spirit should be the number one pursuit of every believer. I am absolutely convinced. Did you know, friends, that all the things we are trying to look for can be found in the secret place? The place of intimacy is where you can get anything. Believe me, anything. It's amazing how Satan has distracted us. We run around trying to do many things, and the solution is there in his presence. No wonder Moses said, do not let us leave here without your presence. If your presence go not with us, we will not depart from here. The psalmist said, cast me not away from your presence. He said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. I don't know what my life will be without the Holy Spirit. Indeed, I know what it means to be a dead man without the Holy Spirit. He's my life. He's my friend. He's my God. And I trust that the Lord will introduce us to realms where we will hear his voice, where we will walk in his path, where we will live his life. When you are intimate with the Holy Spirit, the world will know. They cannot deny it. There is an imprint that the intercourse of his presence brings. And you will shock your world with insight and wisdom and illumination that does not belong to this realm. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. To hear your voice once again, to see your face.
bow just a higher. Once again, to know your ways. Once again, to live your life. Once again,
can you tell him, Lord, once again? I cannot begin to pour out my heart to you, friends, how much that the Lord wants us to enter realms of intimacy. I was sleeping yesterday night and I had an encounter while sleeping. And in the sleep, someone walked up to me and he said, "Son, you're about to start a move and bring many to realms of intimacy." And he said, "Look up," and I looked, and the sky was as though it was red, and clouds, sounds everywhere. And I said, "Lord, what is this?" And he said, "It's the rain of the revival. But it will be for men and women who know my presence." It was a very deep encounter. It left a mark in my spirit. I just woke up quiet and silent. And God said, "I will show men things that they did not realize can be seen." There are realms, there are dimensions, but until you touch those realities in the spirit, you will struggle in your Christian walk. Until you touch those realms in the spirit, all of these things we are saying will be strange. I trust that many of us will come into an encounter where you will see Jesus stand before you and hold your hands and say, "I am your maker. I want to lead you and describe to you the purpose of your life." The Bible says, "Blessed is she that believes." Koinonia is the place of possibilities. There is no impossibility with God. My life has changed today, not because I love God so much, but He gave me an encounter that left a mark in my spirit. When Jesus stood before me and I saw Him as He is. I know He's alive, not because I read it in the Bible. I have seen Him. I've had koinonia. A light came out from Him and entered into my spirit, and it has left a mark in my life. Friends, there is a place of encounter greater than the realms of the anointing. When you touch those realms, you will not look for the anointing again. It will become the natural overflow of that experience. Hallelujah. And so the Lord is bringing us to realms of intimacy. Great men are product of incredible encounters, spiritual encounters that can set them on fire, encounters that can bring them to points of intimacy. And that's what the Holy Ghost wants to give us. Quickly, I want to tell you the things that we are going to be doing in Koinonia. Number one, Koinonia is an experience of intimacy with the Holy Ghost. One of the things that the Lord is going to be doing through this meeting is to bring everyone individually and corporately into a point where you can say, "I know the Holy Spirit. I know Him. He's my friend." Where the realities of the Spirit, that every time you carry the Bible to read it, it will become your experience. Not just something about some people that you read, but it will be a living experience. That's what God wants to bring into our lives. So Koinonia is a place of experience. There are three things that will happen to you. The first thing is you will be with Him. Koinonia sets the platform for intimacy, even in worship. As we open up ourselves in worship and open up ourselves to the atmosphere of heaven, there is an intercourse. There is a oneness. There is a participation that the Holy Ghost brings into our lives. The second thing that God is going to be doing in our lives is the revelation of His word, the revelation of His principles. Hear me, friends. Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come." Matthew chapter 6. It says, "Thy will be done." That means when we understand His will and His principles, then His kingdom can come. Hallelujah. And so God is going to be teaching us the principles. The principles of the Spirit. Hear me. We are all products. Listen, please. We are all products of our environment. Our mindset is the sum total of all the orientation we've had from our experiences and from our environments. And our mindset is so important. And so there is an alignment that the Holy Ghost is going to be bringing even through Koinonia, bringing us to a point of kingdom alignment. A man of God calls it a recalibration. Our minds will be tilted so that we begin to perceive realities from God's standpoint. It's called the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 5, chapter 2 from verse 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." In other words, permit this mind to be manifest in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There is a standpoint that we must see reality. The world has taught believers to respond to things. And when we come into Koinonia, the place of intimacy, one of the things that the Lord does is to reorient us and give us the mindset of kingdom citizens. The Bible says you will not call conspiracy what they call conspiracy. It says when men say there is a casting down, you will say there is a lifting up. Hallelujah. A redefinition of situations and circumstances. When men are swallowed up by certain things, like Job, he will say, "Though he slay me, yet will I praise him." He said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." There is a mindset that is given to you, the mindset of a citizen that is of the kingdom. And so you don't just praise and worship him because of results or car or money or all of these things. You come to a point where you praise him truly and you worship him for who he is. It's the mindset of the kingdom. You come to a point where you are trained to see the unseen. The Bible says, "Why we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, subject to change. But the things that are unseen are eternal." God brings our eyes into an alignment such that we begin to perceive realities from the standpoint of heaven. And when you go home and they say things are not working, you don't join the world as though you do not have a solution. You come as Moses, who came out from the presence of God. And you say, "I am an ambassador. I represent a government. By myself I can do nothing, but I belong to a government that is competent and able. And I have been vested with the ability to represent our government." There is a mindset. This is one of the greatest miracles that the Lord is going to be giving us. It's amazing how our mindsets can make or break us. When we have wrong mindsets, we interpret things from the wrong perspective. But the Lord, through Koinonia, will be bringing us to that point where we have the mind of Christ. Say after me, the mind of Christ. The thinking pattern of the kingdom. God will be helping us to learn to look up to Him alone. The Bible says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help." Many of us have been trained to run after men. And so the series of disappointments we have in our lives are endless. But the Bible says, "Woe unto him who puts his strength in a man." The Lord brings you to a point where you lift up your eyes and say, "Lord, unto thee I lift up my soul." A point where he becomes Alpha, Omega in your life. Hallelujah. The third thing that the Lord is going to be doing is to be exposing us to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Many of us have not had the opportunity to experience the fullness of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. At best, all we have seen is just people falling on the ground. But there is more. There is so much more. To the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, the counseling ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Lord is going to be opening us to the revelations of signs and wonders. Miracles, transformations by the power of the Spirit, where men will come and receive a real transformation, where sick people will come and receive real healings and deliverances. Acts chapter 10 verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He said, and he went about doing good and healing all, not some, they that were oppressed. Why? For God was with him. That's the secret, the mystery of his divine presence, chiefly bringing the miraculous to his people. And the Lord is going to be exposing through Koinonia the love of the Spirit. The Bible says there abided these three: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of all is love. The greatest motivation the human spirit needs is love. Many of us have come from terrible environments where nobody believes in you. Many of us have lived in all kinds of complex. But I welcome you to a place where God loves you the way you are. I welcome you to a place where God does not say change and come. He says come as you are and I will make you. Religion can say make yourself and come. But God says I accept you. It doesn't matter what you have done. Men may look down at you, but I know that a great one can arise from you. Who would have known that a little fisherman will become an apostle? Who would have known that a doubting Thomas will make up the 12 that will shake the world? Koinonia, the experience of participation in the Spirit. And when God brings us through this school, then he equips us to represent his government. The end of all of these things is that we are with him so much that we become like him, and then we can represent him. Your life is supposed to be a reflection of the kingdom you represent. There are many believers that the only way you know they are believers is when they start praying in tongues or laying hands. If you must lay hands on somebody for the world around you to know you are a Christian, then you are not an effective Christian. The Bible says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, when you have love one for another. There is a character. Hear me, friends. Your character must outweigh your anointing if you want to truly reflect the life of the kingdom. That when men look at you, there is the carriage of the presence of the Spirit. That's the first thing that attracts them to you. Not just your message, not just your power, not just your anointing, not just your prosperity, but the presence of God. How many of you have been around people, and when you just come out, maybe from prayer or worship, you just sit close to them and you find out that they begin to tell you about their life. You didn't ask them any question. They begin to tell you, you know, things are not working. You know why? They are responding to an atmosphere that you have created. It's like a magnetic field. They just come and sit around you and begin to talk and say, look, I've not shared this with anybody, even my mother. But I don't know why. I don't know why. Now you know why. Koinonia. It's a product of intimacy. When you spend time with the Spirit, you don't need to spend time before the world. There is an atmosphere that you carry. And I trust that the Lord will be bringing us to that point. Hear me, friends. Prosperity, favor, miracles, all of those things are not the focus. The presence of God is. As you seek him, you will suddenly turn back and see that all of these things are seeking you. The presence of God. That's the secret. That's the good old secret, friends. It's been the good old secret. And Solomon said, he will not collect the field free of charge. And the Bible says he offered 1,000 burnt offerings. And it arose as a sweet smelling savour. And that night, the Lord came and said, Solomon, you have touched me. There is something about your worship. You have done something to me. He didn't send an angel. He came and he said, Solomon, what would you have me do? And then he touched his heart again. He didn't ask for prosperity and power. He touched something in Solomon. And he gave him riches, honor, fame, blessings. Hear me, friends, as we stay in the presence of God, to say, Lord, I want to be prepared so that I can be used by you. There is nothing the Lord will not give you. The Lord told me something. I shared it when we were having our retreat. The Lord told me something. He said, son, if you will let men see me, there is nothing I will not give you. if you will let men see me. We are coming to a point where all of our idols and the arrogance that ministry and all of these things are built will crumble. Friends, I cannot tell you how the senior pastor of this assembly has become such an icon of humility. When people look at me and say, "You are humble," I feel they are mocking me. Because when you see this servant of God, the humility in his life is unbelievable. And that's how you know a man who has stayed in the presence. Humility is a product of koinonia. Because when you see certain dimensions of him and see how unworthy you are in yourself, saved by the finished work of Christ, nobody will motivate you into pride. It doesn't matter what they put on the posters. And so God is bringing us to that point of intimacy. God is bringing us to that point of knowledge. Friends, that you found yourself here tonight means you're a participant of the revival that the Lord is bringing upon the earth. And you must open up your heart and say, "Lord, I believe. I believe. I believe." He told Jeremiah, "From when you were in your mother's womb, I called you and I ordained you to be a prophet." Hallelujah. So I welcome you to Koinonia, the place of intimacy, the place of participation, the place of partnership, where the Lord will be opening new realms and dimensions of His Spirit to us. He'll be bringing us to that point where we'll be trusted. See, the anointing you have been looking for, you will get it at a platter of gold. The presence of God and the intimacy of the Spirit will bring it for you. There are realms of power and grace and glory that many of us will step into, that if you were ever told you will step into it, you will not believe it. But God will bring it as a byproduct of koinonia. Rise up on your feet. We have